question. You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. With your host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly.
Once again, to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. Welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen, and happy Valentine's Day to all you sexy guys and girls out there, all you lovesick puppies, and I have a lovesick puppy on the phone with me right now. I welcome back to the show for the fourth time, friend and alumni of the Dynamo's Dozen pod, Joe Dyden, the Beef. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for introducing me as a lovesick puppy, though.
Well, you're always lovesick with me, baby.
Very jealous of Rachel, so I am. Yeah.
Ah, well. Well, look, we're here to kind of continue on from the last time we done. The last time we were talking, we done a WCW top 50. For some reason, on WWE, they don't seem to have a top 50 WWE superstar list. I mentioned yesterday that it was a Forbes list. Of course, it's not a Forbes list because that's all about money. It's the top 50 highest paid of all time. So.
Makes sense for Forbes to do that.
yeah. What I did was the Bleacher Report tends to be a kind of a good source of the top riders around, and plus I just didn't want to give any of the dirt sheet guys the kind of the credit for it, because the likes of Dave Meltzer and other people like that, they constantly get berated from guys like Russo and Bischoff, so I'll leave that kind of I'll leave that to them, basically. So this is the Bleacher Report, and it actually starts off pretty funny, because what it says here is it gives an honorable mention before it gets into the top 50, and you'll kind of laugh at the top 50 as it starts as well. And a lot of you guys and girls out there listening will actually want to poke holes in it, but you won't need to, because that's why me and Joe are here. We've got you covered. You're gonna be surprised by this. The honorable mentioned superstars who got snubbed from this list are George the Animal Steel,
right?
Ultimate Warrior.
Oh wow!
Scott Hall.
Okay.
Owen Hart.
Ah, disappointing.
And Christian.
Oh. And who, sorry?
Christian.
Oh, I really like Christian.
Yeah, it's very strange. So I'm just going to get into the top, into the number 50 right now, which is kind of hilarious because he didn't actually really work for the WWE. But in at number 50, on the WWE top 50 superstar list of all time, according to the Bleacher Report, may as well call you out, John Nazinski. You don't have a clue, my friend. Dory Funk Jr.,
what?
Yeah, Dory Funk Jr. He even goes so far as to mention that he's a former world heavyweight champion, but in the NWA. So, Dory Funk Jr. comes in on the WWE list of all time.
He's trained a lot of WWE superstars.
I don't know. Oh, my God, a sip of energy drink. I'm going to need it for this list.
Was he part of the WWWF or something, was he?
Possibly, but he didn't have a great reign there. Like, you know, would have worked.
And he wouldn't be known for it, like, yeah.
He would have come into the territory, all right, but he certainly wouldn't have been a WWF, you know, alumni even. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't be anything, okay. Really. But it is what it is, I guess. Maybe, in defense to Bleacher Report here, they were probably thinking because WWE have access to all of the video library of all the other promotions, that they were just doing a top 50 list. But if that's the case, it should be a top 50 wrestling, you know, list, wrestler list of all time. But they say WWE top superstar list. So coming in at number 49 is another strange one. Not because the guy can't work, in the same way Dory Funk Jr., two amazing wrestlers, no problem with that.
Oh yeah, well, Dory Funk signed me as well, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. So
I don't have a bad word to say about that man.
Yeah, me neither. But Nick Bockwinkel comes in next. Again, one of the best wrestlers of all time, but honed his craft in the AWA, and was like a multi-time AWA World Heavyweight Champion. So again, that's number 49. Strange again, and even stranger again, it comes in a two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion and a multi-time NWA Tag Team Champion with his brother, is Jack Briscoe. So there we are. We've got three.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got three that have come in that are NWA and AWA workers. So not a good start to a WWE superstar list. I'm sure Vince might have something to say about this.
I'm very perplexed so far. Yeah.
Well, me too. And I haven't gone beyond the next person. So I didn't. I wanted to be just as surprised as you when I go through this. So.
Those three guys are fantastic wrestlers, but
amazing. You know, Nick Bockwinkel and Dory Funk are two of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Even probably Nick Bockwinkel more so. Even just anybody that ever has a chance, go on the network and go to AWA, check out Nick Bockwinkel's 1 hour match with Kurt Hennig before he became Mr. Perfect for the world title. Unbelievable. So I'd recommend that to anybody out there. So number 47, we're coming back to a bit of sanity right now. 30-year career, which was mainly in the WWF and the WWF, Mr. Bob Backlund. So I would definitely say he deserves to be there. 100%.
He absolutely does.
Third longest WWE championship reign of all time. Came back in the mid to late 90s as well. Mid-90s, had a little run with Brett as well. Good little program.
Didn't he win the title off Brett and then lose it two nights later or something?
To Diesel in like 5 seconds or something like that. So that was, that's him. Another one, Killer Kowalski. Yeah, I put Killer in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Training the likes of Kofi Kingston, Triple H, etc. So Killer Kowalski comes in at number 46. Now, another one again, I suppose this one, he was the first actually professional wrestler to hold the WWF title, actually. Buddy Rogers, the Nature Boy, the original Nature Boy.
Buddy Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, so he comes in at number 45, which is good with me. I'm happy with that.
But see, I'm almost thinking to myself, oh, well, that one makes sense, just because of how we started.
And he's the first. Yeah, exactly. And he's the first ever world champion. So, for WWE. Next one. Oh, shout out to the ladies. Fabulous Moolah comes in at number 44. With all the controversy she's had.
I was about to say that. Yeah, all the controversy she's had.
But not as controversial as Chris Benoit. So, there you go.
Oh, dude.
I'm allowed to mention his name. I didn't say anything else, so
yeah.
It's a beer free zone on Dynamo's Dozen nowadays, so you won't hear any mad controversy, certainly not involving Mr. Benoit. Anyway, number 43, I'm happy with this. First ever Intercontinental Champion, you know who it is, Mr. Pat
Patterson. Oh, your buddy
Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson,
Pat Patterson.
In a fake tournament down in Brazil.
Yeah. hell of a guy, though. Wrestler, hell of a, just backstage talent.
Before the internet, when you could make stuff up like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, not that you can't make stuff up on the internet either, so.
Yeah, true, actually. Yeah, what am I talking about? There's plenty of nonsense on the internet.
Probably worse now, so. Number 42. Very high up here, actually. Rick Rude comes in at number 42.
Oh.
I would have had him a lot higher, personally.
Yeah, at number 42.
Hmm. Yeah, so probably one of the best.
I'd be a big fan of his now, I have to say.
Oh, man, easily in my top 10 of all time.
Yeah, hated him when I was younger, but, you know, now that I'm older and kind of appreciate what the art is.
Yeah.
I have a lot of love for the man.
Oh, man, incredible. Number 41, one of the best commentators of all time and one of the most influential backstage people, even had his own section, the gorilla position.
Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah. One of the best super heavyweight wrestlers, I guess.
Wasn't he a monster heel, wasn't he?
Absolutely, big time. Made it big in Japan. Anyone ever wants to have a little bit of a backstory on Gorilla Monsoon, I'd highly recommend Conrad and Bruce Pritchard's Something to Wrestle With. They actually have a show dedicated to Gorilla Monsoon, so you learn actually a lot about the history of his work in the ring, but then, you know, how the likes of the gorilla position and everything came to be called that. So that I'd recommend that. I would. It's pretty good. Number 40, JYD, Junkyard Dog, an all fan favorite of a lot of people.
He was hugely popular.
Oh, big time, especially in Mid South.
There's actually some
great footage in Mid South of him absolutely kicking the shit out of a jobber back in the day.
I don't know if he did. Like, I don't know if he had much of a career in WWF. Like, but I think he was just hugely popular though. But yeah. I don't know if he did. He didn't win too many titles though, or did he win?
No. I don't think he won anything. I think he falls into that kind of Coco Beware bracket that he was just one of those kind of fan favorites that happened to be around in the late 80s and early 90s. And just,
he was super over, but didn't really get anywhere.
A lot of people said, especially him and Coco actually fall into that kind of same bracket where they were big, but at that time they were considered too short, you know?
So I know what you mean, yeah.
They were big guys, but I think they were only in and around 5'6" to 5'8". So at that time, unless you were really kind of in a tag team, you weren't really getting that top spot, considering Hogan was a foot taller than them, you know. So, but yeah, good mention. 37, this is obviously deserved, Sergeant Slaughter.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest baby faces of all time, and then one of the biggest heel turns of all time. So
that's
a man who, if anyone else ever wants to get how you can get heat and to not be afraid of the heat, Sergeant Slaughter is the guy that you look to. I mean,
yeah, sure. He got death threats and everything. Oh, that man.
They thought that there was cyanide sent to his through his mail and everything. Like, so it was pretty crazy.
He's also one of the largest men I've ever met as well.
Yeah, you actually met him over.
I don't think he is anymore. I think he's lost an awful lot of weight since I met him. But he was like, his chest was huge when I met him.
I thought you were going to say his chin, but his chest was pretty big too.
Yeah, he was absolutely massive when I met him. His chest was like a barrel. He was massive.
Next, number 36, a man who influenced quite a lot of wrestlers, actually, just due to kind of look, Mr. Superstar Billy Graham. He comes in at...
He was the original Hulk Hogan.
He was. He's gotten very old and bitter in his kind of age. He's kind of... I think he absolutely shits on everybody these days, but that can happen. That can happen.
He wouldn't be the first one to do that now, to be fair.
No. Honourable mention to the Sheik, who actually comes in next at number 35.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, literally scroll down, and as I said, the Sheik, he appeared. So, number 35, the Iron Sheik, still pretty high up, actually, for the Iron Sheik, to be honest.
I wouldn't complain, though. He was bloody fantastic.
No, but I mean, I would have put him higher up.
You would have put him higher, right? Sorry, I thought you were giving out that he was too high. And
I am giving out that he's too high. He should be lower on the list, as in closer to the top.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I get you now. Sorry, yeah.
Next, number 34, actually, one of the most influential people in all of wrestling, but also sports in general and entertainment, Gorgeous George.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a guy during the what you would consider like the kind of the golden age of wrestling, back in the 40s and 50s. like, he influenced guys like, for example, Muhammad Ali got all of his shtick from Gorgeous George. This is a man who had multiple stab attempts and everything.
Yeah, sure. Isn't he credited as being the guy who brought gimmicks into?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's still, a lot of people are afraid of looking at black and white wrestling and think it's boring and stuff like that. But if you actually go back and look at some of the stuff, I do it a lot. I go back and look at the likes of Lou Tez and Gorgeous George and even Pat O'Connor and stuff like that. Some of the stuff they did was just so flawless, you know. What were considered high spots back then, they made it look like a genuine struggle and a fight. You know what I mean?
But that was very much the point then, though, as well. Like that.
Of course. I mean, it was coming off the. Yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry. It was just, but that was the point back then. Was to make, you know, to sell it as an app, as a contest.
Yeah, I mean, it was coming off the back of the Kearney days, you know. In carnivals, where, you know, a lot of people probably do know this, but if you don't know this, in wrestling and carnivals, they would go around to different towns the same way they do nowadays, and they would have their guy, their heavyweight champion, and they would challenge anyone in the crowd to come and take him, but it would be a plant in the crowd. And he would basically defend on that territory, and then move on to the next territory. Much like, that's pretty much where the NWA got its idea of territories, and the likes of Ric Flair going around and defending the belt in all the different territories and challenging the top guy, you know. So there's a little bit of wrestling history for people that probably already know that. But if they don't, there you go. I knew it before the internet came along, so. Screw you guys. At a time where you actually had to read books and sheets and stuff like that, papers, so there you go. But no, a lot of people know that, but there's probably a lot of people that don't know that too, you know what I mean, just in terms of that little.
I wouldn't know a whole lot about it, but I knew of it, but I wouldn't know the history behind it, you know what I mean.
I mean, with the likes of, you know, as I say, I mentioned good friend of the show Conrad Thompson, as I mentioned, Bruce Pritchard kind of brings up stuff like that from time to time on the show, so a lot of people probably have heard it, but it's always cool to throw it in case someone didn't. If there's someone that's just someone's just a casual fan, you know. So number 32, we're kind of coming into the modern era here now. Batista. I'd have no problem with Batista being there.
I've never been a big fan.
Me neither. But
no, he's brilliant in Guardians of the Galaxy. Any movies I've seen him in, he's brilliant in.
Oh yeah,
I was never a big fan of him when he was wrestling, but that's just personal preference. I'm nothing against.
I'm not into him either. A bit too big, a bit too slow. But I mean, he had his place on the card. He had a spot.
Oh, absolutely! Like, he was huge. Yeah. He was a master. Oh, like.
Absolutely, multiple time world champion too. So Batista's there, number 31. Yeah, again, got no problem with this big man, the Big Show.
The stuff that man has done for that company, like
how he's lasted all these years too. Do you know what I mean?
Especially a man of his size, you know, to be still like what he was taking bumps up until what, last year, the year before.
Yeah, man, and he took good bumps too. I mean, in anybody that only saw Big Show, you know, in WWE, check him out in WCW. I mean, wow, you're talking about.
Oh, when he used to come into the top rope.
Yeah, like, I mean, wow, the guy, yeah, absolute monster. Number 30 is also a monster, actually, and 100% deserved, should I say. Kane, probably one of the most.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Another great servant to the company. Like.
Probably one of the most underrated big men I've ever seen in terms of the height. You know, so I mean, there's lots of underrated big men, but.
I don't know if you could call him underrated, dude. He was hugely popular.
No, but I mean, underrated in a lot of sense that, you know, he probably should have had a few more runs with the title, maybe longer runs and stuff like that. He was always been a top guy, so that's just my opinion. But
he was also Dr. Isaac Yankum and Fake Diesel. So
well, there you go. Maybe he shouldn't have had runs with titles for that. But
yeah, you couldn't have him run. But that may have held him back, possibly, when people found out who he was previously.
But he may have gotten a shot at the title as Isaac Yankum against Bret. I know he wrestled at SummerSlam, but I'm not sure. I think it was Bret Hall.
Oh yeah, because wasn't Jerry Lawler his manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't think Bret held the title back then. I think it might have been the Undertaker. But
all right,
well, there we go. Number 28, Mr. Terry Funk comes in. You know, you can't really say.
I don't know if he did much with the WWE, though, did he?
No, Chainsaw Charlie.
Oh, Chainsaw Charlie, that's right. Yeah, of course. Mick Foley.
But he didn't know a whole lot. I would have considered him an NWA guy myself, but.
That's a real way, but or even ECW.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah. I certainly, when I think of Terry Funk, WWE doesn't come into my head to be.
I suppose he inspired a lot of the guys like Mick Foley and stuff like that, the hardcore style. But yeah, but I mean, he's in there, and so is his brother. So there we are.
Yeah.
Also coming in at number 27. Now this is a WWE legend, but very, very, very controversial figure. The first ECW champion, Jimmy Snuka.
Oh right, yeah.
I didn't know he was the first ever ECW champion.
I did not know that until you just said it now.
No, well, it says it here. But
is that when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, was it?
Could be. Well, I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, before it became the ECW that we would all associate.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe he was. I didn't know a whole lot about ECW.
No, Shane Douglas was the first ECW champion, Extreme Championship Wrestling champion.
Maybe it was Eastern Championship Wrestling then, yeah.
It must have been Eastern Championship Wrestling, yeah. Because okay. Shane Douglas, didn't he throw the title on the ground and cut a promo slating it or something like that? I'm not entirely sure.
You're telling me, because everyone knows.
As far as and you know me and my awful memory. But Shane Douglas won the title, threw it on the ground, and you know, or something. He ripped into it anyway, and then it became Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, no, he was actually...
I told that story terribly, so people should probably look it up for themselves.
Well, that's okay, but no, he actually was the first ever ECW champion, so there you go. It was the inaugural ECW champion, is what it says here. So he was, yeah, so the guys at the guys at Bleacher Report actually got it right. Jimmy Snuka, strange character. He was able to speak English when it suited him. I think, you know, a lot of controversy about Jimmy Snuka, obviously, that it's come out with the whole murder case and all that. And
But like, he was too sick to face trial, wasn't he?
Yeah, but a lot of people think he was still working a lot of times then as well. So, not that I should be laughing at it, but you know what I mean.
He died not too long after that now, to be fair.
He did, but there we go. Well, he definitely deserves to be in that list anyway, because I would consider him a WWE legend, one of the biggest kind of superstars.
Yeah, exactly. If you take away the outside stuff, absolutely. Who doesn't know that splash off the cage? Like, who hasn't seen that clip?
Exactly.
100 times.
So we're going to fly through the 20s here. We've got, coming in at number 6 again, 18-time world champion Lutez. NWA guy again.
There's quite a few here, as I said, that when I think of their names, WWE would not come into my mind to associate them with.
Yeah. Number 25, Randy Orton. Yeah, 100%.
Only 25, wow.
I know, I would have put him again higher up.
And you know I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm surprised that he's that kind of low down.
He's my boy. I would have put him up higher anyway. Jerry Lawler coming in as well at number 24.
Another guy I wouldn't associate with WWE.
No, only on
cover. As a wrestler, I mean. Yeah, wrestler, I should say. Absolutely. As a commentator. Although he did wrestle quite a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, in the mid-90s, like, he had a run with Brett and stuff. So, you know, he was there. Another one that's very, very...
Just, whenever you think of Jerry Lawler wrestling, it's always Memphis is what you think of.
Yeah. Another one in the wrong place, from my opinion, Mr. Roddy Piper. Comes in at number 23.
Yeah.
I would have definitely had him in the top 15, personally. Or even top 10, considering what he did with the first WrestleMania and all. So, number 22, Kurt Angle. Yeah, okay. I suppose.
Yeah, no Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking where you would place him, but I suppose top, just outside the top 20 could be fair, because he actually had a longer run in TNA, so.
I was about to say, he wrestled longer in TNA than he did with WWE. So
Mick Foley.
That's what I know. The question was asked before: like, would Kurt Angle be a TNA guy or a WWE guy? So
yeah,
because of how long he's been there. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off there.
No, he definitely deserves to be there. Number 21 there was Mick Foley. He's obviously...
Oh, another guy I probably would have had higher.
Yeah, yeah. Followed by Edge and Dusty Rhodes at 20 and 19. Mm.
Dusty. See, Dusty's another guy I wouldn't associate with WWE. I know he was in WWE.
Well, that's what I would have thought, yeah. Yeah,
because when I think of Dusty Rhodes, I don't think of him and WWE, because they tried to mock him, and he just got over anyway because he was that good.
Yeah, strange. You
know, they put him in the polka dots to try and mock him, and he just got over anyway because he was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I think we'll do? Actually, we'll do the rest down to the top, down to the top 10. And then I think what we'll do, actually, just for a bit of fun, just because I've been leaving people waiting for last week, I might actually give them a third podcast this week, and maybe we'll do the top 10 in depth tomorrow. I think that would be pretty cool, actually.
That's not a bad idea, actually. And then we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the top 10.
Yeah. So I think we'll finish with the rest down to the top 10, and then we'll finish it tomorrow and give people another podcast for Friday. 3 in a week. There you go. Free content from yours truly, and Joe.
Wow.
At number 18, another one that you don't associate with WWE and very high up is Harley Race. He was the original king, but
yeah, I was about to say that, like, he did do a lot of, some high profile stuff in WWE, but when you think of the name Harley Race, WWE doesn't.
No, NWA, seven-time NWA world champion. And and my buddy, been on the show.
And a good friend of yours, yeah.
Been on the show. An absolute hero of mine, too. So,
I know, sure, I remember talking to you when you said you were having him on and how giggly and excited you were about it.
Absolutely. Son Leland, lovely man as well. Starting to come up in the professional wrestling world as well. Wrestling world, there we go. Westlife on the brain, see.
Yeah. Oh, no harm in that, mate. I'm a big Westlife fan.
Number 17, definitely a WWE legend, Bruno Sammartino.
Number 17?
Only number 17, yeah. I was very, very surprised. And I'm even more surprised by the next one. Because he only had a short run in WWE. Amazing worker, however, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah, another guy that I wouldn't associate with WWE either.
No. Intercontinental champion,
when I think of him, he was brilliant in WWE because he's brilliant. He was brilliant everywhere he was.
Yeah. He's just magnificent. Number 15, one of our personal favorites, and I would associate him with WWE, Mr. Perfect.
Oh yeah,
should be in the top 10.
Associate him with WWE over WCW.
Well, as Mr. Perfect, he had his best. He had his best run, I thought. Yeah.
But he did an awful lot in WCW too.
Oh, he done a lot in WCW, but it's just he had one of the longest reigns in the 90s as Intercontinental Champ as well. So.
I know that, in fairness, that gimmick, Mr. Perfect, was brilliant as well.
It was perfect, it was perfect. Number 14, probably fair to put him in because it's a modern day kind of thing, Rey Mysterio.
Huge for WWE.
And
he's back now. At how long was he out, and he's back now, and he's as big, if not bigger, than he was. Popularity wise, like, he's popular as
got his own clothing line and everything, and he's definitely one of the, and by all accounts, anything you ever hear about him, you never hear anybody say a bad word about him either. So
that's true. Yeah, you don't hear a bad word about him.
Big Pantera fan as well. So there you go.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, his favorite band. Believe it or not.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. No, happy days.
Yeah,
I like him more now.
Absolutely. The next guy we like a lot because there is a lot of him, but a ridiculous placement in my opinion. Andre the Giant comes in at number 13.
Oh, he didn't crack the top 10.
Which makes no sense to me.
Because he's definitely one of their most iconic. Arguably, their most iconic. No, maybe not most iconic.
Behind Hogan, one of them, yeah. Yeah.
Behind the likes of Hogan and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
There's not many more that would be more iconic than Andre.
But even in terms of just as iconic, probably the most iconic, just in terms of the sheer size of him and how people talk about him. So, I mean, that's sure to cause arguments. But followed, I'm going to give you the next two now. Number 12 and number 11, respectively, is Eddie Guerrero and John Cena at 11.
John Cena didn't crack the top 10.
Well, there we go. So that really does leave us to talk in depth about the top 10 tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that, actually. And I've got a sneak peek at the top 10. So it's.
I shall stay away from it and be surprised by what I hear.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, there were quite a few surprises in that 40 we just did anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, I'm really surprised by that, I have to say. Now, again,
as I said, a lot of guys in there that I wouldn't associate with WWE at all, nearly some of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's just a strange one for me. Then again, as I said, it is an independent top 50 True Bleacher Report, so, you know, it's probably just one guy's kind of opinion on it, and
I'm not giving out because everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's just, as I said, just some names I never would have associated with WWE.
Oh, I'm giving out. Yeah, I'm giving out. Definitely. It's
all right. That's your problem.
It's horseshit, Bleacher Report. Get better writers. Good list, my friend, if you're doing a top 50 wrestlers of all time, but not WWE wrestlers of all time. But we'll see if there's any surprises tomorrow in the top 10. That's strange, because don't forget, we'll go through it again. Andre doesn't make the top 10. Roddy Piper doesn't make the top 10. Ultimate Warrior didn't even make the top 50, nor did Owen Hart or Christian, which is baffling to me.
Cena didn't make the top 10.
John Cena didn't make the top 10. So, I mean, that is crazy. I mean, yeah, already the WCW list is looking at making a little bit more sense. But we'll see. We'll see tomorrow who was the top 10. So I think we'll do it at the same time tomorrow when all the love in the air has died down from this very red, misty Valentine's Day.
Do you mind if I give a shout out to some of your listeners?
You can give a shout out to whoever you want.
Thanks. I'm just wondering if any of you know any ladies that might find themselves attracted to a short, fat man. To get in touch with Ian, and he'll put you in touch with me. It'd be great.
So there you go. You can go on to Facebook Dynamo's Dozen page. Give me a personal message, or you can go and join the mailing list and go to dynamosdozen@gmail.com.
As Ian said, I'm a lovesick puppy, so
yeah, you gotta help this man out. You know, if you want if you want loyalty, if you want cuddles, if you like pizza, if you like Diet Coke, if you like the occasional beer, and especially save the best to last, if you like a good hug and a good dance, then Joe Doignan is your man.
Yeah, cheers.
See, we got to get a speed dating with Dynamo's Dozen here going on at some point. This is gold. We got to do it. Sign up, ladies. Sign up, because I know there's many of you out there tonight sitting lonely, listening to the sound of my soothing voice. That's great, but my voice isn't the voice that you want to be listening to. It's the man next to me here, Joe the Beef Doignan, making a comeback in 2019.
Joe? Yeah, cheers. Thanks for that. You make me sound a lot better than I actually am, but thank you.
That's what I do, man, you know?
Man, cheers.
Well, listen, Joe, thank you once again for joining me. As I said, tomorrow we will continue on and we'll do the top 10. And we will talk a little bit longer. Again, this is a nice short podcast coinciding with the one yesterday. But tomorrow we'll do a bit of a longer podcast and maybe dissect the top 10 a little bit and speak about the guys that are in the top 10 a little bit more. Have a look at maybe some of their best matches and best moments, some of their their kind of reigns and some of our personal favourite moments from the top 10, if we can call it on the spot. And if you want to go and check out the top 10, maybe, so you can do a little bit of research, but you might not need to, because I'm pretty sure you'll know them all anyway. And we can have
I hope so.
Well, I hope so too. But we'll do that tomorrow.
I knew all the other 40, so hopefully I know the top 10.
Well, listen, my friend, before we go, you're like me. You like your wrestling memorabilia and you like your wrestling merchandise. And there really is only one place to go for that.
Hey, if you're like me and you're a fan of your wrestling merch and your MMA merch and your boxing merch, there's only one place I go, and that is Wrestling Mania. That's right. Wrestling Mania is located at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's your one-stop shop for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. It's Ireland's only dedicated pro wrestling shop and carries all the latest wrestling, MMA, and boxing merch, including brands like WWE and UFC and Ring of Honor, and much, much more. And hey, if they don't have it in there, they can get it. If you don't see what you want and you know something that you do want, well, the guys in the shop can get it in for you. And get this, if you can't make it into the shop, they'll send it to you. That's right, they will actually deliver it to your house. So if you want your wrestling, MMA, or boxing hookup, go to Wrestling Mania, located once again at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. Go check them out on Facebook. So it's Wrestling Mania on Facebook. You'll be able to drop them a mail. Very responsive, very appreciative, and also very welcoming and accommodating. Wrestling Mania, for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. Go right now.